Let's turn in the scriptures to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 4. 1 through 4. Before we read God's Word, let's pray to the Lord and ask for His help upon us in the reading of His Word and in the preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise and thanks for speaking to us and not removing Your Word from us. And Father, how deserving we are to have Your Word removed from us, and yet in Christ You continue to speak to us. You continue to shower Your grace upon us and teach us Your ways. Teach us how to live in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so teach us Your ways. And may Your name be given all praise and glory. We pray also You would grant me the physical ability by Your Spirit to preach Your Word, and that we'd all be able to, all of us would be able to hear You speak and not exalt me, but exalt Your Son. And we pray in His name. Amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1, these are God's words. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Those are God's words. Now we finished the last Lord's Day, we finished the first chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, and now entering the second chapter of Jesus' sermon, where King Jesus, continuing to instruct His disciples on being citizens in His kingdom and how to live righteous lives for the King in His kingdom. And what does being in Christ's kingdom mean? In this chapter we'll hear that His citizens give for the kingdom. That's our passage. His citizens pray and fast, and they are not covetous in breaking the 10th commandment. And so where we really looked in depth the last chapter at the 7th commandment and the 6th commandment and the 3rd commandment concerning the name of God. And then once at the very end on the 9th commandment, now we're going to be shepherded and discipled on the 10th commandment. And some others as we look at the Lord's Prayer. And even here in our passage, the 8th commandment this morning, godly stewardship, which entails giving to King Jesus for the sake of His kingdom. And for the context of the passage, we remember the big theme that's coming through this part and even begins earlier than chapter 5 and beginning before the Sermon on the Mount as well. As Jesus is emphasizing that righteousness is absolutely essential for the citizens of His kingdom. Chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So you're living a righteous life, and you're persecuted for that, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so to enter into the kingdom of heaven, we need perfect righteousness. We need His perfect righteousness. We don't have that of ourselves. And then chapter 6, verse 33, we have not got to this yet, but made mention of it before. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you want to, in other words, if you want to remain in His kingdom, and then you must practice and seek after His righteousness, which we've already learned comes first by faith in Jesus Christ when we are justified, we're clothed with the righteous robes of Jesus Christ, and enter into His kingdom, and then in continuing in His kingdom by obeying His commandments, which are all good. And this impossible for us, this impossible without King Jesus being your righteousness, without King Jesus being your Savior. And so we exalt in our mediatorial King, our Savior, King Jesus Christ. Now we've learned more and more through chapter 5 what righteousness looks like in Christ the King's kingdom. It looks like loving your neighbor at the end of the chapter. Loving your neighbor, and that extends even to loving your enemies, Pharisees and even the people in the church. Loving your enemies too. That's what loving your neighbor means. And that's the characteristic, one of the characteristics of being a citizen of His kingdom. Well, now coming to our passage specifically here today, we see Jesus addressing the giving of alms. Alms coming from the same root word as mercy. And so in our giving, showing mercy. And blessed are the merciful, we remember that. For they shall obtain mercy. The giving here is that merciful, this merciful giving. And in particular, then charitable or merciful giving to those who are in need. You need to see something of what Jesus teaches us here through, though in our first point this morning, when He talks about giving, He teaches us first that all sorts of people give. All sorts of people give. We see in the very, even the first couple of verses that even the Pharisees of the Jews give. We could apply this even outward in our own context. We could see the rich give, right? Great philanthropy, right? And they give to various causes and peoples. It's a very big market. A lot of unbelievers give. The wicked give. And believers in the gospel give. All sorts of people give. True Christians give. Look at verse 1. Jesus is instructing His disciples, take heed that ye do not your alms before men. And then verse 3. But when thou doest alms, right? Those who are in Christ's kingdom give. Now, there's no question about that. It's assumed that the people of God in Christ give. It's implied here. And give of what the Lord has given, of course, to them. Because none of it is from our own hands. And so true Christians will give what for what purpose? For the cause of the gospel. To help those in need and show mercy and call those whom they serve in their giving to believe on Christ for their salvation as well. And as we heard over a month ago, the true citizens of Christ's kingdom, believers, will give for the furtherance of the gospel. And so it's so necessary. That's so necessary for the poor. For those who are in need are dead. Most of the poor out in the world are dead in their trespasses and sins. They're sick. And they need healing and life. And they need the gospel. They find that only in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Christians will continue to give and sacrificially give even to their own hurt, which we're going to see today, for the gospel to be proclaimed. For sinners to be saved. For those who are in need to receive true salvation in Jesus Christ. True Christians will give and give and give for worship to continue. For the gospel to be spread. To lift the burdens of the afflicted. Even Galatians 6, verse 10. Now, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Not only for those who are of the household of faith, but especially those in the household of faith, the church. Which means that we also give for the sake of those in the world, that we might give to them and then proclaim the gospel to them and call them to the one who truly provides everything they need, Jesus Christ. So then we call them to believe and repent of their sins and find and seek salvation in Christ alone. King Jesus, by what he says about those citizens of his kingdom, is saying, this is what is true of true Christians, true believers. They give. Now, you may have professed faith in Jesus Christ. You may have been baptized and communed at the Lord's table. And you've taken and taken and taken, but perhaps you haven't given. If you are not one who gives to the church, and more specifically, give to the church or give to the Lord by giving to the church, if you're holding back what ought to be given, if you're one who does not give so that those afflicted ones inside the household of faith and those outside the church are shown mercy and hear the gospel, then you're showing by your actions, as Jesus is saying here, you're showing by your actions that you're not part of His kingdom. You're not part of His kingdom, Christ's kingdom. Jesus is saying, here are those who are in my kingdom, and those who are in my kingdom give. They give. If you do not do alms, if you do not give of your substance, then you have no reason to regard yourself as a Christian. Why? That's what the king says. And the king, his law, rules over all. But remember our point. All sorts of people give. Just because you do give, if you do give, that doesn't guarantee that you are a citizen of the kingdom. That doesn't mean you are a Christian. That doesn't guarantee that you're his. Because even the Pharisees give. Even the Pharisees give. Jesus says later in chapter 23 to the Pharisees, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? That's his description of the Pharisees that he talks about in Matthew's gospel. These same Pharisees, he says here about when he says hypocrites, he's talking about the Pharisees and the scribes. These same Pharisees gave. They were not just receivers. They gave. Jesus makes a distinction about those who give, between those who give rightly and those who do not give rightly. Or those who give godly and those who do not give in a godly way. There are those givers who characterize the children of God, and there are those givers who are characterized as hypocrites. You see, Jesus is addressing here those who would say, it doesn't matter how we give, as long as we give. And Jesus in other places addresses similarly those who say, it doesn't matter how we preach, as long as we preach. Those who say, it doesn't matter how we love, as long as we love. Or it doesn't matter how we worship, as long as we worship God. No, the what we do is just as significant to the King, King Jesus, as how and why we do it. Jesus is addressing not only our motives, but the means of what we do in His kingdom. Not just the what, but the why and the how. Oh, and then you say, oh, but Pastor. And really, it's oh, but King Jesus, because it's not my word. As long as we do what we feel and be ourselves, that's okay. And then Jesus, the King Jesus, says, no, it matters how you think. It matters what you do. It matters how you do it and why you do it, the motive, and even the emotions you have while you do it. Because we're speaking about kingly and godly righteousness in the kingdom of God, and everything is important to King Jesus. And so here's Jesus saying, just because you get the what correct, you give. Just because you get the what correct, does not mean you're a citizen of my kingdom. It doesn't mean you're a Christian. Because even the hypocrites give. Right? We see that in the passage. There are many who send in money to their local church, And they're on the membership rolls, perhaps, or they're not. But they give. But they're not here. They don't come to worship regularly. Certainly they're not children of God. And then there are those who faithfully attend upon the worship of God. They go through the actions of worship in the body, thinking of John 4, but their heart is not in it. And they give. They have been countless men and women who have given faithfully to the Church of Jesus Christ for the helping of those in need, and who are now spending the rest of their eternity under the eternal torments of the Lord's just punishments. And so you cannot rest upon the fact that you give that you're a Christian. And yet all Christians give. Verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, and do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. The hypocrites put their hand in their pocket and give. All sorts of people give. The second point this morning, the vanity of giving to be praised. The vanity of giving to be praised. You look again at verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. It's implied here, verse 1. And verse 1 is about Christians, describing his citizens, citizens of his kingdom. It speaks at the end there of your Father which is in heaven. And yet Christians, there are times when in our giving, we sin by giving to be seen by others. Or we could even apply that. We do certain things to be seen by others. But we'll stick to the giving today. That our actions in general, what we do, is to be seen by others. Friends, it's a sin. It is unrighteous to give to be seen by men. That's what Jesus is saying here very clearly. We do this so that others will feel better about us. We do this so others might trust us more. We do this so that later we might gain some greater influence over those who see us. We do this so that we can be seen as pious and holy, when really we're prideful and filled with vainglory. King Jesus is saying all such giving to be seen by men in our giving is sin before the King, before Him. And you know, if we elders and the deacons with the treasurer or whatever were to send out a list of all who gave and what they gave with their names by what they gave, next to that, that would be sinful, Jesus is saying here. And that happens in some congregations. I don't know any in our denomination that do that, but that happens in some congregations where the leadership does this, perhaps even as a means of bribing the members of the congregation to give more, to put shame on those who give less. And yet we remember, of course, the poor widow who put in the two mites. And she's honored by the Lord Jesus. And yet she would have been at the bottom of the list if we put out a list. Jesus is the mediatorial King and head of the church, and therefore His word must take precedence over everything else in the church. And so for anyone, especially those who are leaders in the church, to seek the praise of men and bring about undue influence like that is supreme disloyalty to the King. It's treason. And this can be further applied in keeping happy those members who may in the church give a lot. And sometimes we know who those people are. It's, you know, it's kind of obvious who they are sometimes. And they give lots of money to the church. Well, you don't want to get upset. You don't want to upset those members, right, is the general thought. And sometimes how the elders of the church or pastors of the church make decisions. They're like, well, if we do this, that's going to upset that man, and he gives a lot of money, and if he might leave the church, and you go down that road of thinking that We're going to be out of all his money then. That's not what the church and his kingdom, Christ's kingdom, is about at all. It's about righteousness and faithfulness and honor to the king. And this goes to the preacher as well, pastors. The wealthy member comes up to the pastor and says, well, you know, that sermon came, that got a little too close to home and I don't like it. As if you're supposed to change now how you preach. Right? And you need to do this and that in your preaching instead. And that's really the devil knocking on the heart of the pastor. And that pastor needs to ask then, will I be faithful or seek the praise of men? Will I be faithful or give in to the wealthy member and loosen up my sermons and make them sound pretty and make the hearing of the word a little like cozy tickling to their ears, right? Comfortable. It's all a perversion of the government of Christ's church, wherein Jesus Christ is king and head. But the king is clear, right? Verse 2, therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Those who give, those who do alms to be seen by men, Jesus says, they're hypocrites. That's not me saying that, that's Jesus saying that. They're hypocrites. He labels them as hypocrites, characterizes them as such. Such who do this are putting on an act. They want to be highly thought of as those who love God and have compassion on those who are in need, and yet they're really only seeking themselves and the hope that others will think highly of them. Now, friends, those who are the hypocrites giving to be seen are seeking the admiration of others. Hypocrisy, friends, acting out apart from the love of God and man when self and pride are the true motivations. The Pharisees love the approval of men. And Jesus calls them hypocrites later on in the gospel. Right? Oh, Pharisees, hypocrites, right? And they're likened unto us here. They're likened unto the people in the church here. Now, as an aside, there are some of you perhaps who give because of your sin. And you want your giving to be seen by the Lord. So this is an aside from the passage here. You give to be seen by the Lord as your, this is my peace offering to you, Lord. Treating your giving as something that appeases God. Since you have sinned against him. Why would that appease God? He gave it to you. How would that appease him? But that would be what? If we did that, trying to appease God, that would be a denial of the gospel. And Christ's atoning work and his merit before the Lord for us. And so, friends, let's seek to trust the merit of Christ alone to appease and reconcile us to God, not ourselves. We can't appease him. And let our giving be an expression of not only obedience unto King Jesus, but in response with thankfulness to him and faith that he has given us all things for our good and for the sake of his kingdom. In verse 2, we see as well what type of giving, off of the aside now, what type of giving he is speaking about. Not only the mercy and merciful giving of alms in the streets, like those who are in need out there in the world, but also in the church, because he talks about the synagogues, as we've been speaking about. But what do the hypocrites do? They give so that whether it's in the church or in the streets, others will see them, admire them, and praise them. Glory from man. And Jesus gives this word picture. It's like a trumpet sounding. They're sounding, go and they give, and they're trying to sound the trumpets. The hypocrite who gives is like they're blowing this loud trumpet. Look at me! Look at me! Look what I'm doing. What I'm doing is giving to those in need. I'm giving to the church. And there's maximum publicity about what I am doing. This hypocrisy is also shown in Acts 5. We know Ananias and Sapphira. They do the same thing Jesus is talking about here. They sold all their possessions and kept back part of the price, but brought in part of that, you know, what they sold their property for. They brought in part of that to give the impression that they had given the full amount. And it says there in Acts 5, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold the possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also was also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. It's implied there they gave alms, but they wanted it to appear as if they had given all when they didn't, because they wanted to be seen by others. That's why he brings up, you have not lied unto men, which you did, but you've lied unto God. And notice, consider, friends, how serious of a sin the Lord says it is. Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Getting there almost to the language of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. It's almost there, right? Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And then the next verse, thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And from that, Ananias and Sapphira were both struck down by the Lord and died. That's how offensive this sin is here in our passage, in hypocrisy and seeking our own glory instead of the Lord's in our giving. It's the same in Acts as well. The ruler sought glory and didn't give glory to God, and he was struck down, right? Similar thing there. Now at the end of verse 2, we see that you might get recognition among men. You may get their praise, and you might get their glory for giving in your hypocritical way, by trying to show that you're giving to others. And that praise and glory and all that pride that you saw, King Jesus says, verily I say unto you, hypocrite, or to the church, they have their reward. Speaking about the hypocrite, they have their reward. That's it. Their reward is what? A little praise, a little glory from men. From men. For a time. And usually that time kind of dissipates over time. Jesus is making this point so that you don't think you can seek the glory of man and glorify God at the same time. You cannot. He's showing that distinction here. If you have pride and the praise of man, that's it. That's your reward. There you go. Congratulations, that's all you get. Here today, gone tomorrow. And it'll be short-lived. In God's sight, in the King's sight, your giving, if it is seeking the praise of men, if it's filled with hypocrisy, King Jesus is saying, your giving is worthless then. If that's the way you're doing it, it's a sin. It's unrighteous. He will not receive it as done unto him. He says here, it's vain. And so that's the vanity of giving, to be praised. Then thirdly, King Jesus instructs us in the righteous way, his way, what we might call a third point, secret giving. Secret giving. You see that word in verse 4. But first we'll look at verse 3. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. So far as possible, the goal should be that no one knows you're giving. No one should know you're giving. No one should know how much you're giving, as far as circumstances allow. Your giving is to be done unto the Lord. And so even our motive This is for the Lord. This is for His glory. This is for the gospel to be spread. This is for the help those in need. This is for that. Lord, it's for You in all those things. Now, some might see your giving. Here we go, we give in the box in the back. Some might see your giving. You give in that box. But do you do your best not to say, hey, look, guys, look what I'm doing. Hey, is everybody seeing me? Okay, everybody see? And then you get, right? Look at all that cash I'm putting in. Look at this big check. You put it in when you're walking by and you walk away and move on. You're not looking about if anybody's looking at you or not. But our giving should be done as privately as circumstances allow. If you're out on the street, because Jesus is talking about in the street too, someone there is saying they need food. Well, take them to a restaurant and pay for it. Don't make a big thing. Hey, waitress, this person asked for food. They're in need and I'm helping them out. And the waitress probably look at you, good for you. But don't do that. Don't try to draw attention to yourself. Invite them into your home. Feed them. As private as possible, right? And he uses this picture. Not even letting your left hand know what your right is doing. Now, when we do things, we're often using both hands. And for us, we pretty much can't conceive of how we could hide from one hand, hide the left hand from knowing what your right hand is doing. It's impossible, and that's why Jesus uses it, to show us how private this should be. How great of an attempt you should make in not seeking glory from others. And so, friends, we need this grace of God to give in this way, not only privately, but also to not seek others' praise. To give in such a way, not as an expression of pride, but as an expression of faith. Giving it as an expression of faith. Notice verse 4, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. So, friends, godliness and sin always have to do with faith. They always have to do with faith. Sin is always showing forth one's unbelief, lack of faith. Godliness is always an expression of faith. And godliness, especially in secret, is always an expression of faith. That's why when he talks about prayer and you do it in your closet, that's an expression of faith. No one's around to see it. And yet you know when you're praying in private, you know God hears you. And you know God's going to answer you according to His will. That's an expression of faith. And so godliness, especially in secret, is always an expression of faith. He says here that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret. The Lord sees all, knows all, just like we heard in Proverbs 5. Even that which is in secret. Why does Jesus bring this out? Because the expression of faith here is in giving is always done unto the Father. Always done unto the Lord. Our godly and righteous giving, not to be shown to men, that people would see us giving, but our giving is always done. A godly and righteous giving is always done by faith in the Lord, with the very purpose of giving glory to the Lord. Lord, look how much You blessed me and my family. And so we give it for Your use, because I know, and we know, we believe, faith, we believe You will keep providing. Because You've always provided. It's not about self. It's not about receiving the praise of men. It's all about giving praise unto the glory of God in our giving. The Father, the faith is that our Father does see us, and we know that. We don't give so others can see to then receive praise from them. But true faith is that we give so that our Father does see. We want Him to see, not to appease Him. But we come in the righteousness of Christ, knowing by His Holy Spirit and His grace working through us, He gives us a heart of thankfulness to Him and what He's done. And so we give in obedience to Him for His kingdom. True faith is that we give so that our Father does see us, because we desire it all to be unto His praise and unto His glory, even when we do it in secret, and especially when we do it in secret. By giving so others can see in public, blowing the trumpet is living by sight, not by faith, based on what you can see. But it's giving in faith when we give in secret, knowing only the Father sees, the Lord sees. And so when Jesus was by the treasury of the temple, what did He see? He saw the widow. He saw her. No one else did. Jesus had to bring it to the attention of the disciples to teach them about giving, to teach us about giving. But she gave all she had, not to be seen by any, but only to the Father or to the Lord. If we had a list of who gave what, as we said earlier, the widow's name would have been at the bottom. She gave the least. But what did she do, friends? She gave not to seek praise of men. She gave in secret as best she could, so that the Lord would see all unto the glory of His name in Jesus Christ. And so her name would actually be at the top. She gave the most, because it was to the glory of God. Why else would she have given all she had, even to her own hurt, except for the praise of God, her Savior and Lord, and doing that by faith? She knew God would provide for her. Even as a widow who doesn't have someone at home, a son or a husband to provide for her. She knew by faith that the Lord would provide. And so to give in secret, even in secret, remember what Jesus says in chapter 25. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, thinking of those people in the streets, right? And giving to them, ye have done it unto me. By faith. That's how personal King Jesus takes even your giving. Even when it's on the streets and you help the one in need of what they need, give of what they need, you have done it unto me, Jesus says. Unto my glory, unto my praise. And in Matthew 10, verse 42, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cold cup of water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. And that's what we see here, starting in verse 3 again. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Shall reward thee openly. He will reward you openly before all the universe. That's really what he's saying. Not just before a few men and women who maybe saw you give, in which you were seeking to be seen by them. And that's your reward if you were trying to be seen by men. They saw you, okay, and you got some praise for that. That's your reward. Not this in this case. But now when you show forth your faith in godly, secret, righteous, secret giving, you will be rewarded not just by those who saw you give, if there were any, but because it was in secret before the Father unto His glory, you will be rewarded openly. That is, you will be rewarded in heaven, verse 1, by the Father, not men, and openly before the entirety of all the creation. You'll be rewarded. Praise God. The universe will be witness to your reward. And not a reward that is in this life only or for a time that fades away. Not here today and gone tomorrow, but everlasting for eternity in heaven. And how may you enter into the heaven and receive that reward? You must be, as we've already heard, you must be perfectly righteous. Well, then there's no hope, right? There's no hope. There's no way any of us are perfectly righteous. None are righteous. We've all sinned. We've all sought glory and praise through our own giving at times from men. None enter into heaven, though, except Christians. Christians have a place in heaven alone on the basis not of our own righteousness, thankfully, but on the basis and because of the righteousness and the merits of Jesus Christ alone, our Savior, who we have on the basis of Christ's perfect substitutionary atonement for you, his passive obedience that's offered to you freely and received by faith alone. Christ's righteousness alone is the grounds of your acceptance before the Lord. And you can have his righteousness by what? How do we have? He's offering it to you freely. How do we get it? How do we have it? By believing. By bowing down to the King and submitting to him and believing on his name and repenting of your sins. And he says here, you'll be rewarded in heaven and with heaven. And with the Lord, communion with Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you've ever given children, if you've ever given adults, if you've ever given as the hypocrite, if you've ever given for your own gain, your pride, in your pride, for your praise to be before others, to be seen by people and exalted, then Jesus says, you hypocrite, come today. Come today and believe on me and glorify the Lord alone. King Jesus promises you here today, if you turn from your sins, you believe on him, you will have a place, a wonderful place, a loving place in his kingdom. And you'll enter into glory into heaven and be rewarded infinitely. But King Jesus says here, there's work to be done. Before that time, you must be here now righteous in union with me. You must be godly as the Spirit works in you by His grace. You must believe and serve me as your King by giving. All my people give. And give sacrificially. As we've learned before, for the worship of God to continue, for the gospel to continue to be proclaimed, for the help of those in need, where we even love our enemies, we heard last Lord's Day, and show mercy to them. For the help of those in need, our friends here, give in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And let's pray. Our Father, thank you that you make us to be who are your children. You've made us to believe. You've given us the gift of faith. You've changed our hearts so that we would turn from our sins and believe. We're part of your kingdom. Of course, we pray for those who are outside of your kingdom. You would bring them in, if that would be your will. Even those who are here today who may not be in your kingdom. Father, we plead that you would show mercy, as you have so shown mercy to each one of us who are part of your kingdom. And Father, make us, even as we have contemplated perhaps this morning how we have given in the past, Father, forgive us where we have sinned in this and turn us to now righteousness by your Spirit and grace, righteousness in giving, that we would honor your name. And it would be unto the praise of your name. And that you would be glorified and praised by others. Even we hope in the opportunities we have to give to those outside the church. And we'd have and make the opportunity given to us to proclaim the good news to them. That they would hear and see the mercy of God shown to them even in providing food or their need. And healing, just like the Good Samaritan. We pray that you would open up their hearts through that, by your Spirit, and save them from their sins. Grant them faith, Father. And Father, we ask that we would be more diligent in our giving. And our giving would be not as the hypocrites or the Pharisees, but as in secret, as best as possible. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.